intro. Not Nick. I am not Nick.
Yeah. I'm not even getting any feed. Board up. Give some feed, please.
I'm getting some feed. I think you turned it down. I hear the feed.
He turned it down. I'm not hearing it. Anyway.
I hear the feed
fine. I can
hear
it now.
You turn it up, Lou. I told him to turn it down.
I did turn it up. Yeah, I was.
People think this is scripted.
Yeah, this is well scripted and sandy. Because you know why? You know why? I'll tell you why. Because this is a Freedom Fiends.
That's right.
We're broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a million miles above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your mind. Can you
out of
feel
your
it?
Head.
Is it working? Can you feel it?
It's working.
Can you feel the healing power of the sin flood?
Yeah, I turned up Laughing Kitty's buffer more. She's well buffed.
I don't know why I'm buffering so hard, y'all.
Are you wired or are you on Wi-Fi?
Oh, that could be it. Right now.
Is that something you're going to fix? Anyway, hey, go ahead, Lou. Give us a show. Why isn't Nick here?
Well, you see, Nick, he sent an email earlier today saying that he's going to start. He's acting like an old person. It's past his bedtime. That he's a farmer now, and he gets up with the sun, and he goes to bed with the sun, and... The funny thing about him saying that he's old is the three of us are somewhere around almost three times his age, and yet we're doing a radio show and holding down day jobs.
Yep.
If you're going to act like an old person, Nick, it means that you'll be here, you'll be ready for the show, you'll have something to talk about, and when we throw to you, you'll be able to catch it.
I found gray hairs today, and I'm on the show, and I'm at the... tail end of pneumonia, and Nick was like, "Oh, I'm tired. The yaks. Yeah. I'm tired."
Well, if he would have finished high school, then he would probably not be relegated to doing manual labor and mucking out yak stalls.
Yeah, he would. He'd be flipping yak burgers at Mickey Yak Donald's.
Yeah, fighting for 15.
Yeah. No, he'd be in lib pair. He'd be fighting with a 15-year-old for the job.
Yeah, but well, with a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But I tease. We love Nick here very much. He's like the son we never wanted. So, yeah. He's a good egg. I just wish he would act as old as he complains about being.
I know. Well, he is kind of acting old. He's acting like he's about 75 and complaining about things.
My back!
My bone hurt. My bone hurts.
I'm so tired the curls came out of my mop top. He reminds me of Carrot Top.
Yeah.
With that hair.
Hey, Diana, why don't you, you're buffering so hard I can't even hear what you're saying. Do you have the, can you wire your computer and come back? Okay.
Tom, I don't know, it's not working this time.
It's not working. I think you're going to have to go away and come back. Get your computer wired like it's supposed to be and come on back, please.
Yeah, she's buffering so hard. She's buffering so hard, I can only guess that she's laughing right now because that's what she does. Yeah. She is a laughing kitty.
I know.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Yep.
And I'll come back now, you hear?
Last night, I was using an even higher setting on Fiend Phone that made me sound even better. Maybe I'll just turn to it now. You have to, it's not for people that buffer, though. The extra setting. Do you know about the extra setting, Lou?
No, I don't.
Well, here, I'll just switch to it. I don't know if you'll tell right away, but there. I should sound a little better right now. I'm using Opus Talk 24 kilohertz, 32 kilobits per second, instead of the usual default on Fiend Phone of Opus Talk 24 kilohertz, 16 kilobits per second. I'm twice as juicy. Yeah.
Okay.
But probably 1.5 times as likely to buffer, so... You know, you have to have a good, strong backbone on your computer internets. And, you know, you have to firewall your back door against people like Nick. So why is taxation theft, Lou?
do we really need a reason?
Yeah, and no, we, explain it. Explain it for the people in the cheap seats.
If we did, I think I would paraphrase elder statesman, philosopher, and economist Frederick Bastiat when he defines legal plunder, which means the redistribution of wealth, the funding of these different programs and everything else. And I believe he was a min statist, but he certainly sounded like an anarchist in his arguments, but so did Ludwig von Mises. But anyway, he says, and how is this legal plunder to be defined? Quite simply, does the state take from one what belongs to him and give to somebody else to whom it does not belong?
Yeah.
Now, there's certainly many arguments that can be made of, but what about my roads? What about my national
defense? I was going to play statist and have you gently and lovingly and firmly tell me why I'm wrong. We could play that later.
Well, let me do it right now, because we'll probably both forget about it, because we're old, according to Nick.
I know.
And we have old-timers disease.
According to the people who didn't show up because they were too busy or too tired or something. Nick. Yeah. What is he, 18? Nick.
Yeah, he's finally legal. He needs to switch from his Flintstones chewables up to some Centrum Silver or something like that. But anyway, when somebody brings up the subject about, but what about the roads? What about my national defense? You know, we'll all be speaking German or Cuban or Muslim, for that matter, if we don't have national defense. Right. Well, you do realize that that our founding fathers kicked those Brits out of America and had them take their Sharia law back to
because otherwise we'd all be speaking English.
Yeah. Yeah, proper English. But anyway, when somebody makes that argument, they're not actually making an argument against taxation being theft. They're making an argument for necessity and the easiest way to do things, because they expect everybody else to live according to the limits of their imagination.
Interesting. The limits of their limited imagination.
Exactly. So if you say that it's necessary, you have not argued that government is, or taxation is not theft. You've just said, I don't know how that would work without theft.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a time when people didn't know how things would get across the land without horses.
I still don't know how the internet works, but you know what? I clickety click click, and there's my AOL account.
AOL account. Speaking of accounts, I have some good news. So the Freedom Fiends Digest, which you can get to at digest.freedomfiends.com, where Riley Blake makes a 20-minute best of from each two-hour show we have. And there's no ads in it. Actually, there's an ad for, I'm Riley, send me a donation. And you should. People should send some donations to Riley, because he's really kicking butt with this, and it's great. We got added to iTunes today, and we got added to Stitcher today. So
nice.
You can get on all the... I've gotten really good at getting on sites. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of like jumping through, but I've gotten on so many of them now, I know the hoops. I can almost do the hoops in my sleep. But also like know what has to be there, or they'll say, eh, start over. You know, I've solved all that in 2006. So the cool thing about Stitcher is that it has a button that's very easy to find where you can listen to the podcast faster. So the 20-minute, his 20-minute, so basically you can listen to Freedom Fiends in 13 minutes. But what I recommend, instead of using the 1.5 speed, which makes it 13 minutes, or the twice speed, which makes it 10 minutes and almost makes it chipmunky. It doesn't change the pitch, but twice as fast is almost comical. It's not really, I guess you could probably speed listen, but I would recommend the 1.25 speed. I haven't done the maths on what it would take. I don't know, probably 15 minutes, maybe. I don't know, something like that. But it actually sounds better than our show. At 1.25 speed, we sound like it's an afternoon show instead of a late night show. So check that out, people.
Okay, and do people have to alternate up to like 1.5 for Nick?
Yeah.
Because he's old. Because he talks slow like an old fart.
He takes a little while to answer, too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that his internet needs more buffering, but to the audience, it just sounds like he's kind of slow. But, you know,
he's high as a kite.
he's not.
And he is out in Oregon where yak fur is legal to smoke.
I know. He's probably smoking that.
So, there's absolutely no telling with that young punk juvenile delinquent, whom I look forward to seeing again at Liberty Fest in a month and a half.
Yep, I'm not going to be there, but I'll be there in spirit. A bunch of my merch will be there. You'll be at the Michael Dean Memorial merch table.
Yep.
Did you get your flag yet from China?
I haven't got the flag, but I do have the buttons and
the mask,
surgical masks, and other odds and ends. Yeah.
Bipcot stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got the flag you're getting is a Fiend Fest Somalia flag.
Nice, yep. nice. And at this Michael Dean Memorial table, the first three visitors will be getting life support systems that you have used in the past.
What?
People will be getting the first three visitors. Aren't you donating your old life support systems?
My cannulas? What are you talking about?
I don't know. What was it that they used to hook you to keep you going?
They used to. Who's they? And what's used
the,
to?
The lizard overlords.
Oh, no, I don't have that.
Fiend phone.
I can't give
phone.
Those up. Hello. Hello, Freedom
Hello.
Fiend.
Hey, Kassenhoffen.
Hey. Hi.
Did you fix something?
Yes, I am now wired.
You've not buffered yet. I think it might have worked.
I know, it's so weird because the last time I did a show, I was on Wi-Fi and it was fine.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fiend phone should never be used on Wi-Fi, for people don't know, but we'll keep you on. We'll keep you on for a while and try it out. Yeah. So are you going to this event? Tell what the event is and where it is. Oh, wait, we got a minute. Yeah, go ahead. You got time.
This is the 5th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, sponsored by the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, and will be held June 22nd through June 26th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan. Diana? Would you like to explain yourself?
What? Why she won't be there?
No. Yeah.
It's a long story.
You sound so much less buffering now that you're wired. I think you should make it a point. Has that been the problem like the last 20 shows that you've been on?
No, I was totally wired every single
time.
We'll be back.
That
was it. Okay.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Twalking.
Can you say that on radio?
Twalking.
So before we get into a bunch of reasonable things here, I got a couple things I've had in my notes for a while. One is, I don't know if I talked about this recently, but if I didn't, even if I did, I'll say it again because it's really short and sweet and it's worth talking about. So, you know, people always say, never call the police, because more often than not, people have this fantasy that the police are, you know, like, what was that TV show in the 50s, Lou?
Dragnet? Dragnet?
Andy Griffith's show.
Oh, Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not exactly a cop show. I consider his being a cop kind of like incidental to the screen.
Yeah. Don but people Knox think that's awesome. How cops are, and they think they're friendly and they'll show up and solve all your problems, when more and more and more what they do is, you know, if you call about your suicidal child, they come and kill your suicidal child, and, you know, they come and shoot your dog, and they come and what else they do? They do all sorts of stuff. Not always, but they... You shouldn't call
the
police.
Very non-Andy Griffith type.
Yeah, they're very non-Andy Griffith, and they look at everyone as the enemy, and they're trained to look at everyone as the enemy, and they're trained to never underreact, always overreact, and they can kill and get away with it most of the time. Mm-hmm. And a lot more and more.
They're the force and more violence wing of government.
Yeah, and more and more.
They're the sharp, pointy, and bloody end of the spear.
Yes, and more, I'm going to get this in here. More and more, they're not the mellow little Andy Griffith types. They're more and more, they are, you know.
They're like,
no,
they're like
worse than Barney.
Dangerous
they're,
Barney with a gun.
Yeah, they're like yeah, they're like, you know, they're vets coming back from Fallujah who have been in a situation where everyone potentially is someone trying to kill them, and they look at the world like that. And a lot of times, too, they are vets with PTSD. So they're people that, you know, have mental issues from combat and are basically loose cannons with a gun and a license to kill. You know that the funny thing too, like that Shelley, James Bond, license to kill. Every cop has a license to kill. They don't always use it, but they can. More and more. I mean, I just all the time I see headlines of like, you know, cop shoots so and so, judge decides not to prosecute, or judge prosecutes and he's found innocent, yeah.
But cop shoots really somebody, good, investigates himself and determines he did nothing wrong.
Right, right. The rats guard the cheese.
Right.
So more and more, it's a bad idea to call the police. And people call them for ridiculous things. Like people call it for, I don't even.
They forgot to put pickles on my Big Mac.
Oh, okay, that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. But
McDonald's is out of McNuggets.
But here's another reason never to call the police that I've never thought of. And I read it in this book written by an ex-cop called Arrest Proof Yourself. That it's a really weird book. I mean, he waxes poetic about being a cop, like, you know, talks about how women love making love to a cop because it's so interesting, and I'm almost vomiting on the pages. But it has, you're not going to get other books written by, like, you know, Adam Kokesh aren't going to tell you how cops really think, and this book tells you how cops really think.
Yeah.
So when you call the cops,
even reading it,
when you call them about something that's, you know, not much of a big deal, and they come to your house and talk to you and take a statement, you know, and it's nothing, no, whatever it is, just you make a statement. So they have a record of this. If there's ever a crime in your neighborhood where you fit the description of, you know, they write down what you look like went to the house, you know, adult male, this weight, this height, this whatever, this race, you know, and even like to what you're wearing, to where if someone, you know, robs a car stereo in your neighborhood and he's your height, weight, race, and gender, and was wearing, you know, a rock and roll t-shirt, and you were wearing some rock and roll t-shirt, the cops will be at your door. And, you know, people say, but I'm innocent, it won't be a problem. I can't believe how many people say, like, well, I'm innocent, I don't need to worry about the cops.
Right.
The cops all the time. Yeah, all the time the cops mess with innocent people. I mean, their job is kind of to pull over innocent people and see if they can find something to arrest him for or fine him for, you know.
Just don't break the law and you'll be fine.
That's what they say. It's not true. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, and when the cops talk to you, they're fishing, you know. They're looking for something. They're looking for more ways to get into your trunk and into your pants pockets, and yeah, they just want to find something. Everybody's saying, well, I obey the law. I'll bet you don't. I'll bet you're breaking the law right now and don't even know it, because like the book says, everyone commits 3 felonies a day on average. And they don't have, like, meow. I mean, they don't have, like, quotas per capita, you know, like, actual quotas. But a cop who doesn't arrest anybody is not going to be a cop very long. So they have quotas.
Yeah, they do. They say that.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Say that on the radio, or at least you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, to know what people said, you'd have to get the you'd have to go become one of my Patreons, because some nights we record the breaks, but not tonight. You'll never know.
like earlier we were getting into the reason I'm not going to Liberty Fest, and one of the reasons, probably the number one reason, is that I am limited in my funds as well as my vacation time. And I had the opportunity to go out to Laguna Beach, California. Let's just say it was very therapeutic. And I'm glad I went. I will miss Liberty Fest a lot. I really will. I mean, but I kind of had to make a choice. I'm sorry, Lou. Sorry, everybody else.
You don't have to really apologize to me. You just have to apologize to all your fans. They're going to be so
and yourself.
Sad that you're not there. And Roxy. Roxy wanted to be there.
Yeah, I was going to actually try to fly with her.
On your lap. Yeah.
Well, still can, probably.
Yeah.
Roxy's your girlfriend, for people that don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got another thing.
Not really into that species.
I got another thing on my list of, like, stuff I haven't said in a while, or have had in my, like, yeah, I'll say this on the show sometimes. So, completely off the case of this. So, there's, in my movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, for anyone who's playing the home bingo game. That's one of the bingo spaces. Selby's Cane.
I love that movie. It's so good.
Good. I love the Freedom Fiends, but I don't have time. I love that ad. I'm really pleased with that ad. So, in the Selby movie, there's a part I really like where there's someone talking about how Selby hating the government, basically. You know, he said he Selby had a lot of health issues, and at one point, you know, Selby got one of the, like, the VA hospital gave him one of those cheap aluminum canes, and he was out. The guy who's telling the story in the movie says, you know, he finally got one. He said, I finally got something from that effing government. And I thought that was great and beautiful. And I realized the other day that the next line I should have cut out and not had in the movie. Because the next line, he says, and then we were eating breakfast somewhere and he had the cane. And then he left the cane and had to go back and get it. Shows you how much he needed it. So I have some knee problems. I got a bunch of problems, but usually I don't walk with a cane. I do have oxygen, you know, when I leave the house, I usually need it, and I need it when I sleep. And I went to Menards with my wife. Menards is like a big box hardware store chain in the Mountain West. And we bought some things.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, yeah. It does extend up to there a bit.
I like it.
I haven't seen them around here.
Oh, it's great. Oh, they're amazing.
I've seen them around here.
Lou just walks around and touches himself, probably. They're great.
Oh, God.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so we got some stuff and then we're leaving. Nice. And so, general, like, the Menards is really, really good about having people, like, carry, you know, help you if you need help. So, it's like 89 degrees out, and I'm carrying oxygen, and my wife's pushing a cart, and I'm using a cane, and there's these, like, you know, two teenagers that work there that are probably fighting for 15, and, you know, we'll probably get laid off and replaced by robots when minimum wage comes to Wyoming, when they raise it from, like, $4.65 or whatever. Like, the minimum wage in this state is lower than the national minimum wage. Isn't the national minimum wage like $6.75? Yeah, and it's like $5 here or something. But these kids were just, like, you know, watching me struggle, you know, and the guy was kind of hitting on the girl, and they were just, you know, not doing the job at all.
Yeah.
And we got in the car, and then we saw them, you know, like, putting away the cart, and she picked up the cane out of it, and we were like 25 feet away at this time. I'm like, oh, wait, stop, DJ, she has my cane. And I kind of rolled down the window and said, oh, that's my cane, and can you bring it to me? You know, she just stood there. And I said, can you bring it to me, please? And she kind of came over like, ugh. And then when she was walking away, I said, I forgot it because I was so flustered because nobody was helping me. And I just realized at that moment I'd become that guy. I was yelling at teenagers going, I left my cane because it's your fault because you're young and healthy and not helping me. And I felt kind of bad, but really they weren't doing their job. And, you know, instead of, like, telling their boss, I yelled at them, which is probably, you know, instead of snitching, I told them their face that They weren't good. But then she just kind of stopped and stared at me and then went over and started talking to him. And I'm like, I can imagine the conversation going on right now. But so what I realized was that when you're not used to having a cane and you don't need it all the time, but need it for like walking a long way in a store or something, it's very conceivable that you could need a cane and then leave it somewhere. So that guy was an a-hole for saying, you know, Selby didn't need the cane. And I was a friend of his, too. I don't like that guy said it. And I don't like, in retrospect, that I left it in the movie. I wish I had not.
Now, did you reflexively tell those youngsters, hey, you kids, get off my lawn?
No, but I told some kids to get off my lawn 2 days ago.
Did you reflexively say, hey, you damn kids, get out of my radio show?
Nope. I don't want them on my radio show. No. All these children are going to have rough lives with very little luxury. I can guarantee it. The kids I told to get off my lawn and the kids that are working at Menards. I mean, come on. If you're like 18 and you're working at Menards in Casper, Wyoming, you don't have a very bright future. And, you know, this show is on.
What if you're 40 working there?
I don't know. Somehow I have more respect for the person who's 40 and working there. I don't know why. But, yeah. Yeah, there's a big brain drain in this town. Like, anybody who's smart and talented gets out. Unless they're, you know, like, tied to the land here. Like, if they own a farm or something, or they're working on their parents' farm, I could see that. But the really hilarious thing, too, is that the politicians here are trying to raise taxes to add a better library. Now, the library in this town is pretty nice for a small town of 56,000 people. I've seen towns with much worse libraries, but they have to add this new, like, special state-of-the-art library because they said that will keep kids here. It'll keep the smart people from leaving. And I'm like, no, it won't. Legalize pot. That'll keep the smart kids from leaving.
So if they're going to build a better library, what are they going to do? Increase the bandwidth on the internet service there?
Yeah. Yeah, from DSL to ADSL.
That's really funny. It's funny the things that people believe.
We're getting new books and magazines for our library. They'll keep the young people there. Really?
Books.
Let's stock some good books. And books?
E-books? Audiobooks?
Yeah. What is this book of which you speak?
Maybe they'll rent albums and things like that. Or like, no, check not rent, but check out albums. I think there's some libraries you can still do that at.
Yeah, that was like the only reason I liked the library after I read all the books in the library and didn't need to go anymore. Yeah.
Every book in the library. Really?
Yeah, no.
Hey, I was just going to add to what you were saying about, you know, being like having the cane and your oxygen walking around like young kids. But here you are on the show.
I know.
Yeah.
Unlike Nick, who can't bring you your cane, who can't stay off your lawn.
I know. Yeah, those kids, the kids that mad dogged me about the cane are not on radio tonight.
That's right.
They're somewhere in town going, what's radio? It's internet for old people.
Now, why would I listen to that whole show when I could listen to the Cliff Notes version of it?
I know. That is the Cliff Digest. Notes version of it, the Fiends Digest.
Yeah. 20-minute best ofs.
Real fiends listen to the whole episode, though. That's what Travis said. That's funny. All right. So you got some notes here, Lou. Let's do a show.
Yeah.
We got a barn. Let's do a show.
There's something I want to throw in. When you're talking about the never calling a cop and the cops that are riddled with PTSD and things like that. I remember back during the Ron Paul campaign and the whole mass delusion that he was going to be elected and just push the establishment out of the way and then go in and fix government. Because we all know that it's just a matter of the right people aren't in charge and the plan's not being followed and all that other stuff. But anyway, I was up at Central Michigan University and there was a Ron Paul event up there and I was actually up on stage with him.
When? This week?
No, 2012.
Oh, okay.
So, because I like new people. But anyway, Well, I was sort of politically active back then. I was already on my way to anarcho-capitalism, and he was kind of a detour, kind of like the, here, go this way, and you'll still get to your destination, but it's just going to take a little bit longer, and it'll be a bumpy road and disappointing. But anyway, I was talking to this Vietnam veteran there, and being a veteran, you know, we're talking about, you know, just different things. And finally, the subject of being over in Vietnam and combat and everything else came up. Mm. And he was explaining that he had done, I think it was 5 tours in Vietnam. He kept volunteering to go back.
Oh, my gosh.
The reason being is, being in that situation, having these year-long deployments and everything, that life, the idea of going out on patrol, being shot at, shooting at other people, being at such a high stress level and everything else, becomes the normal for these guys. So when you're over there and that becomes normal, yeah, you're not able to really function so well when you get back over here, yeah, and go to the job, stop at the stoplights, go grocery
that's store. That's kind of the plot of the movie The Hurt Locker. Remember that? Do you see that movie?
I still haven't seen that movie. I need to see it.
It's a good movie to see. I mean, it's really very little plot. It's just kind of a day in the life of a bomb disposal guy over there.
And that's Jeremy Renner, right, that plays him?
Yeah. Didn't he play 007 in something?
No,
he's not classically good looking.
Yeah, the end of that movie is he comes back and it shows him shopping. It shows him eating dinner with his wife and his young son. It shows him in, you know, being mundane and safe. And next scene, the end scene is him, you know, getting off a plane, going back there.
Yeah, wasn't that kind of like American Sniper too? Like the guy.
That guy ended with him dying, being shot.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying, but
I could see that.
Like being at home.
Yeah, so they become cops here and want that constant stimulation of the hunt.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, it's
more meow, 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 meow.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, have you heard about BIPCoin? Not Bitcoin, but BIPCoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. BIPCoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, BIPCoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. BIPCoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPCoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, BIPCoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading BIPCoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining BIPCoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take BIPCoin for stickers and buttons. Go to BIPCoin.org. That's BIPCoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
And Freedom Fiends.
And Worms.
And Worms, yes. Freedom Fiends and Worms. The road to radio. So anyway, I came across an interesting story the other day. I was just scrolling through Face Beast, and this is actually current events. So in Saudi Arabia, somebody's being investigated for blasphemy because they have made comments about God. Now, you probably think that's pretty horrible, right?
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah.
I imagine a lot of people would find that to be horrible. I'm sure that did happen because it's Saudi Arabia. But right. This story here isn't actually about Saudi Arabia. It's Ireland.
It's Ireland, I know.
Yeah, it's Ireland. And it's not Sharia law being imposed. It's, Christian statism.
Yeah, it's thought police kind of stuff.
Christian statism.
Yeah.
So anyway, the actor Stephen Fry faces a blasphemy probe after his God comments. Police in the Republic of Ireland have launched an investigation after a viewer claimed comments made by Stephen Fry on a TV show were blasphemous. Officers are understood to be examining whether the British comedian committed a criminal offense under the Defamation Act when he appeared on RTE in 2015. So it's taken them this long to get around to it. Who's investigating this stuff? The National Health Service? Fry had asked why he should respect a capricious, mean-sided, stupid God who creates a world full of injustice. He later said he was not offensive towards any particular religion. I remember back when I thought I was still a believer, and people would ask these questions to me. And of course, I would come up with the, you know, I'd pull the string in my back and say, oh, well, that's God's will, or, you know.
He works mysterious ways.
Which is a cop-out answer.
It is a cop-out answer, and there are other answers than what he gave. Besides, and it's not just it's God's will or, you know, God's a jerk. There's other ways of looking at it, but I won't go into that here. We're talking about stupid blasphemy laws.
Yeah, if we have time to kill, then, you know, you probably could. But anyway.
Okay.
According to a report in the Irish Independent, no publicized cases of blasphemy have been brought before the courts since the law was introduced in 2009.
And see, that surprises me. That surprises me that, because I'm thinking, oh, this must be some kind of archaic law dating back to, like, you know, the freaking Middle Ages or something like that. But no, it was just introduced in 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, was it Henry VIII imposed it because of because he's trying to get his divorce from his wife and everything? But anywho, so yeah, 2009. So anyway, a source said that it's highly unlikely that prosecution against Fry could take place. And quite frankly, for as outspoken as Stephen Fry is on many of these types of social issues and things like that, I personally think he would enjoy one of these tribunals. And I think it would give him an opportunity to speak his mind and get some publicity out there.
Yeah, exactly. There's no such thing as bad publicity, according to Bob Dylan. But anyway, yeah. The other thing that's really
crazy. I wonder if OJ would agree with that.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, the other thing that struck me too is that the viewer that reported it or whatever said that they were not personally offended by it, but then they still chose to be concern troll, like you said during the break.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. People are just silly and ugh.
If you see something, say something. It's like
that at my work. Ugh, God. I don't even want to go there.
This is pretty much what if you see something, say something turns into. Because Michael was talking earlier about never call the cops. And because, well, just all the different things that can happen.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely ridiculous. It sends them on a fishing expedition. But anyway. Yeah. We'll be back in the second hour with some fresh, positive news.
Some fresh worms.
Or mostly positive, but anyway. Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger.
There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
So, anyway, that was a little bit of a bummer, but we're back.
Yeah. You want to bring us back? You want to do the second hour intro? You want to make something up?
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're coming to you live from wherever we happen to be, and that's none of your business.
Am I being detained?
Am I being detained? And we're covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Just had to say that. Fiend phone.
This is the Fiend Phone. Unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency system, or furries. Yeah.
Well, please continue.
Oh, I'm done. Go ahead. Talk about liberty. Welcome, Belfouche, and then we'll talk about liberty. Good morning, Belfouche.
Yay. South Dakota.
Yay. And Sundance, Wyoming. Yep.
So anyway, do you want? Let's start off with events before we go into the positive stuff of how stuff happens.
Yeah.
So there's an article that I came across. I was scrolling through Facebook a couple days ago, and somebody posted it, and it's kind of typical that. There may be an older article that gets posted, and the person that posted it doesn't realize that it was posted, and then people share.
Oh, always. It. Yeah, stuff goes viral that's like years old. It'll come back. It's really weird.
Yeah. So it's like, I remember not too long ago, everybody was freaking out because they thought FDR was going to socialize everything, and they're putting out these petitions that says, we got to stop this. Call President Trump right now and have him stop FDR. But anyway, this one here was it's from BBC and it's from 2012. And I think it's pretty interesting, particularly considering that Venezuela is going full Venezuela. Dang, that's how
Fiend phone.
So there she is. There she is.
Yeah.
Lots and welcome back.
All right.
Yeah, so Michael, you were like, I think right when you joined, kicked me off. Yeah, and I mean, it's so weird. I'm on a completely different computer. It must be my internet connection.
Well, it's because you live in Colorado, and everyone running the internet there is really, really baked on marijuanas.
On the pots.
Yeah.
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 So anyway, I like closed out all my other stuff. Was able to come back on, but
yeah, I'm down to only three computers running right now. Netflix on one, YouTube on another.
Yeah, it's just so weird that that happens, or that has happened. And yeah, I'm on a completely different computer. The other one I figured was shot, but apparently it's not that.
Hey, Randy England just thanked me for my service. You're welcome, Randy.
Aww.
He just posted on, this is the Freedom Fiends. We talk about, someone just posted a comment on the Freedom Fiends Digest.
What's he doing up this late? He's like four times Nick's age.
I know. Although, he shows up, Nick doesn't.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
I'm glad Nick has a thick skin. I really do. What was Nick?
Yeah, it's like.
It's not like he has any other friends.
Oh man!
Oh my God!
What was Nick's excuse to not be on tonight?
Because he's tired and he's feeling like an old person.
9 o'clock in the morning. He could have taken like a 12-hour nap and been fine.
He's on farmer hours. A 12-hour nap. Yeah. Oh my God!
Yeah, it's called sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to bed with the sun and wakes up with the sun.
Yeah, whose sun? You can't say that on radio. Hey, Bob the cat. You want to be on radio, Bob? Come here. Come here, kid.
But anyway, so back to Venezuela. Venezuela bans private gun ownership. And this article is from June 1st, 2012, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes, it's 5 years
still
ago.
Have it. Yeah.
But anyway, the article says, Venezuela has brought a new gun law into effect which bans the commercial sale of firearms and ammunition. Until now, anyone with a gun permit could buy arms from a private company. Under the new law, only the army, police, and certain groups like security companies will be able to buy arms from the state-owned weapons manufacturer and importer. So in other words, it's kind of similar to California. The ban is,
I'll bet all it takes to be a security company in Venezuela is paying the government money. Like, I'll bet there's not even licensure. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
All right, so like New York then.
Yeah.
So anyway, you better believe the elite in Venezuela, they have guns.
No, they have private security agents.
Well, there's that too.
Probably. Yeah. They don't want to filthy their hands with guns. That's for plebeians.
The ban is the latest attempt by the government to improve security and cut crime ahead of elections in October.
You know what? The thing about it is I can hear that being said here. I mean, I can totally, at some point, I can hear that being said here. In this country.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see conservatives and Republicans get on board with gun restrictions, all you have to do is tell them is for law and order and to increase security, and they'll gladly give up their rights like the bootlickers they are.
Mm-hmm. So. They're just two sides of the same coin. That's all. They're basically the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're trying. One group is trying to explain how they want to put in six new stupid laws, and the other side talk about how they want to impose a half dozen other stupid laws.
Do tread on me.
Yeah. So anyway,
both to limit the freedom of people doing things that they don't happen to like
for America. So anyway, you know, strangely enough, whenever I hear for safety or security or crime or for the kids or something like that, I automatically get skeptical.
Yeah, of course.
It really doesn't matter what it is. I'm just automatically skeptical. Here, wear this life jacket out in the middle of the ocean for safety. What, are you trying to take control of my life? Take your safety nonsense and your safety rules and get gone, loser. But anyway, so Venezuela
saw... The safety patrol.
Pork rangers to the rescue.
Yeah.
So anyway, Venezuela saw more than 18,000 murders last year in the capital.
Wait.
From Pork Fest last year.
Tangents, wow. Keep up.
I missed that.
Don't fit tangents.
I'm here.
I was making fun of the Pork Rangers. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Lou. I had to get that in there. Sorry.
Oh, I wanted you to.
It's the San Pedro. San Pedro is, she's having flashbacks.
What? No.
From visiting San Pedro, California. Home of Mike Watt and the Minutemen, I might add.
Yeah.
Venezuela saw more than 18,000 murders last year in the capital, Caracas. It's thought to be one of the most dangerous cities in Latin America.
Caracas.
Yeah. So apparently all that government down there is not doing very well. So anyway, the next little paragraph has the little title, Must Do More. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Must do more. The government must do more.
The government has been running a gun amnesty in the run-up to the introduction of the new law to try to encourage people to give up their illegal arms without fear of consequences. So it's kind of like a freedom buyback. If you turn in like 10 freedoms, you'll get one security.
Yeah, and I'll bet those aren't even going to go like into a big meltdown like they sometimes do here. I'll bet they go into the pockets of the starving people in the army there who will probably sell them on the black market back to other people.
Oh, yeah.
Starving. Trade them for food.
Yeah, there's nothing better getting guns out on the street than a government gun buyback. But anyway.
I'm doing some conjecture here, people, but prove me wrong. I maintain that it's journalism. You have to prove me wrong.
Well, what we're doing is we are discussing the possible outcomes of this situation here. We're not saying for a fact that this is how it is. It's just a possible outcome, and it's probably a high likelihood. But anyway.
Well, this was 4 years ago. We should know the outcome by now, do we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's chaos and starvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, your perception of this may vary based upon your patriotism levels. Yeah. You know, I was talking about something the other day. I'm going to get off on another tangent here. Talk about something, and somebody asked, all right, well, is this an economic benefit? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, 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 because it's talking about military bases being an economic boom for an area. And I said, well, no, it isn't. I went into the whole broken window thing and everything else. They're like, oh, that, you're wrong. You're wrong. We need our military. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to inject economics into your patriotism. It was like a Reese's, it's like a Reese's Peanut Butter commercial. You got your economics in my patriotism. You got your patriotism in my economics. And you know what? You put the two of them together, and it's not tasty. It tastes like butt. So stop it. Stop it.
My cat is walking across the table going, what's wrong with that?
That's so good.
So
I love that, Luke.
Anyway, the government. All right, I mentioned the gun amnesty and the freedom buyback. One member of the public in Caracas told the BBC, "They're killing people every day. This law is important, but they need to do more. They're not doing enough now." I remember Nemo was talking about they'd always have stock footage of somebody to say, "Well, I'm just glad that the government's involved and going to solve this problem for us." And they may have used like the same person and just like thrown him into each news segment as they're doing their man on the street interviews. So they show like four different people, and then they pull up old Joe the bootlicker and put him in there and say, "Well, I'm just glad that the government's on the case here." So you could possibly see the same clip of him like 4, 5, 22 times in a news show. As a matter of fact, when they're doing the weather report and they say, well, there could be storms, but we're hoping for a little reprieve, old Joe the bootlicker, well, I'm glad the government's on the case. Can't have this thunderstorm coming through here. So anyway, so this member of the public who's probably, I don't know, indoctrinated in the government indoctrination gulags. He thinks that this law is important. But strangely enough, if you look at all the different laws out there, you know, like it's illegal to have cannabis and all this other stuff, and all these people could tell you how the drug laws don't stop people from doing drugs, but they somehow believe that the gun laws will stop people from having guns, and the murder laws will stop people from murdering, and no. Stop it.
No.
Stop. You got your utopia in my reality.
You got your reality in my utopia. Let's talk about to me how statists...
And it tastes like butt.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow. Statists criticize libertarianism, which they say it's utopia, but they're looking for utopia. It's not here, man.
Everybody's looking for utopia.
That's what I think. Yeah. Not me. I just want to be left alone.
We'll be back with more jokes about Venezuela and statists.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Buffering or trying to be a human beatbox?
She's trying to be a human beatbox. Yeah. Trying. Not successful.
BWA, blondes with attitude. Are you blonde these days? I haven't seen you so long, and it looks like I'm not going to see you again for God knows how long. If I find out.
Come to the Jackalope Festival. I might go to that.
Yeah, you'll probably be at Pork Fest, too.
No, I won't.
Ooh.
No. Uh-uh. Nope.
So anyway,
Jackalope is driving distance, so
I would like to hit Jackalope, but it's probably going to be a while before I can get out there.
Yeah. Why do I always have to come to you, Lou? Like, why can't you come here?
Okay.
Come out west. Yeah.
All right. I'll be there in like a day and a half. I'll leave after we get done. Michael, could you finish up the show for me? I'm going to go pack my stuff and I'll go hit the road. So, but anyway, back to Venezuela. So, yeah, we were just talking about the one member of the public in Caracas told the BBC, they're killing people every day. This law is important, but they need to do more. They're not doing enough now.
You know, I would say that that's, reporters generally find, you know, they only show you the interview from the person that says the thing they want to say.
Joe the bootlicker.
And you would say, well, you know, what does the BBC care what happens in Caracas? But they do, because the BBC is government television. Mm-hmm. So they're going to support the government. You know, if it's not a government that's directly, like, attacking Britain, they're going to be like, yeah, more government's the answer here, because Britain.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the next article that I looked at, basically you can find it from looking at the article that Lou was talking about, is a more recent one, I think from yesterday, or like very recent, Inside Venezuela's Anti-Government Protests. And
that's
so,
brave,
so now
man.
They're protesting the government.
So what exactly are they protesting? What did you get from that article?
The various things. The first one, I have it up.
And where is it from? Is it BBC?
Yes, BBC.com. I clicked on it, you know, directly from the article that you were reading from. But so it starts off that Venezuelans angry with the government of President Nicolas Maduro have been taking to the streets almost daily since the beginning of April. Despite dozens of people being killed in protest-related violence, the demonstrations show little sign of abating. So they're being killed, but notice that the cops are probably not being shot at.
All right, who's being killed? It's protesters, right?
Right, protesters are being killed, but
is that by the cops?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just in the protest phase, they're not in full. Take them away to re-education camps and gulags and purges yet?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, that's right around the corner for those of you that are waiting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think some of the things I've read is that, you know, people have been, you know, have disappeared from protests and things like that, too. So you never know. The demonstrators explain their reasons for protesting and what they hope will come out of their efforts. And the very first one is Maria Alvarez saying, "We're fighting for our children."
It's
the children. She's 57.
Feinstein, the kids.
Yeah, she says there's no freedom of expression here in Venezuela. There's no freedom of any kind. Really? You're just now noticing that? On top of that, you have shortages of medicines, of goods. This crisis is affecting my entire family. We've gone from being middle class to being much lower down. Every day we're worse off and our children don't have a future. They're killing our children at the protests. That's true. That's very sad. So she says, "I'm here as a mother, not just for the sake of my own children, but for the sake of all Venezuelan children and youths who are being unjustly repressed because this dictatorship wants to take over the country. The government portrays the opposition as terrorists. We're really tired of this, and that's why we'll keep protesting."
So this sounds a lot like American politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of what I was thinking. Too.
So
there are people who think that just another march won't change anything, but I don't think that's true. I believe that if all of us gathered here think that way, we can achieve something. She's actually a breast cancer survivor, and you know, and it's like I feel for her, you know, like I get where she's coming from. I mean, I, you know, it's like she feels powerless and wants to do something, you know, but you know, I guess what I'm hearing, like what the underlying or like reading between the lines here, is that she doesn't like this particular dictator. If it was
she wants a different dictator.
That's kind of, I mean, really, with all of these in this article, that's kind of what I'm seeing. Like, government.
Meow.
Yeah.
Some people just can't get enough dictator.
Meow.
listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
I mean, I would venture to say that the majority of us, like we anarchists or whatever, are we anarchists.
Are you mouse pocketing me? You got a mouse in your pocket.
I'm just, you know, collectively speaking, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that, you know, I think probably the majority of us were at one time statist, I would venture to say. To some degree or another.
Yeah, but we have anarchy Alzheimer's, so we don't remember those days.
No, it would seem that way.
Hey, speaking of mental disabilities, somebody said that the Freedom Fiends Digest was the ADHD fiend site. I like that.
Wow.
And the fast-forward portion of it is even better.
Again, for the people in the second hour, go to digest.freedomfiends.com. There's 20-minute best ofs of each episode. They
20-minute best ofs? Yes. Ofs?
Yeah. Ofs. And if you listen to them at 1.5 times speed, they're 13 minutes. But I recommend 1.25 because they don't even sound sped up at that speed. They're a little more snappy and we sound a little less stupid because, you know, it sounds more like an afternoon show than a middle of the night show.
Yeah. So one of the things we were talking about during the break was the Venezuelan crisis and the article that I was looking at where it is basically interviewing different protesters and why they're protesting. And one of the things that struck me is not only that reading between the lines that they just don't like the existing government and they, you know, want another government that gives them what they want is that, and I see it here in this country, that people just have become so dependent on the government providing domesticated.
Like house pets.
Yeah, and providing all their needs and everything. That when suddenly those needs are not met by the government, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to take care of themselves. You know, it's just so sad.
The really bizarre thing about it too is that Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world.
Yeah,
like more than Saudi Arabia, which is an incredibly rich country because they're not socialist, but. This country, Venezuela, has the largest oil reserves in the world, and they're starving because of socialism. It has a year-round growing season, perfect weather, beaches. It's totally tourist-friendly.
Yeah.
But because socialism, it's, you know, one of the hardest places to live right now. I mean, you can't, they've put weight price controls on things. If you have money and can go to the store, the store doesn't have many things. And even if you have money, you're limited. You can only buy, I think it's like 3 things every few days or something. Mm-hmm. Like you can buy, you know.
Rationing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tight rationing.
And something else, really what has happened with Venezuela is they put a lot of their chips on the oil industry because that is the major industry that they have down there. Now, granted, they have other stuff, but their complaint is, well, you know, they put all the money into oil, or they put all their eggs in that basket. But the thing is, if you look at a country like Saudi Arabia or some of the other Persian Gulf countries, their economies are based solely on oil too. They don't have a heck of a lot. As a matter of fact, they probably have less going on than Venezuela does. They definitely have fewer options than Venezuela has for different industries. And places like Saudi Arabia, with the drop in oil prices hasn't seen the suffering that Venezuela has. So Venezuela, I mean, it's socialism is doing it. And these people that are complaining about it, they're like, well, we want socialism. We just don't want the shortages and the not having the food and all this. We want socialism, but not the problems that go along with socialism.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people talk about, a lot of, children and adult children who don't really understand economics talk about how really important things should be nationalized. And even, when it comes right down to it, that's what the government of the United States is trying to do even more than they've already done with healthcare. They're trying to nationalize it. And nationalizing the oil reserve, the oil companies in Venezuela was one of the big first steps in this glide into mass starvation.
Mm-hmm. And what's really amazing is a lot of people have praised Venezuela for the results of socialism down there during Hugo Chavez when he first took over.
Yeah, so I remember that.
In the beginning stages of socialism, of state socialism, it doesn't automatically turn to poo-poo. It doesn't.
Right.
Because you still have some of the existing mindsets in there, and you're still running off the momentum of a capitalistic or fascistic type economy. In fact, a fascist economy in most cases is going to be more successful than state socialism. But anyway, when you're running off the momentum of that, and really, before the central planners can get in there and Feinstein things up any more than they already are, that's when you're going smooth. And things aren't that bad. It's just after all these new interventions create these intended or unintended consequences, and they come up with more interventions to deal with those, that's when everything gets really messed up. So if you have this idea that you can just roll back this one policy, no, you can't. The economy didn't get screwed up with one policy. The economy got screwed up with all of the policies. So you have to roll all of it back, and you have to do an actual truly free market.
And to be clear, you were not making a case for fascism. You were just saying economically it tends to be less not were bad, horrible, then I don't know how many double negatives would turn to a double, but it tends to be, it's still a horrible place to live.
A fascist economy stinks a little bit less.
There's some actual free market activity going on, and I'm trying to, because when I was exploring the different things going on in Venezuela right now, I came across an article, and I'm trying to find it now, where there's some actual free market things going on in Venezuela, but they're usually black market though. Yeah, it's like
those aren't exactly free market.
Well, I mean, it's like free market-ish, I guess, maybe. Closer to the Brazil border, and they're trading across the border. Things like that, with huge suitcases of money and stuff, because that's how much it's worth.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and there's been a lot of cases where people were buying foodstuffs and different basic staples in Venezuela and selling them across the border into Brazil and some of the other places, and then taking that money and getting other things that they need there in Venezuela. So I've read numerous articles on that, but that's not exactly free market. Those black and gray markets are a specific response to government intervention.
Right.
So
yeah,
maybe it's in spirit, it's a free-ish market, but no, it's completely government created. It's a free market like the illicit drug trade is a free market.
But that makes sense.
It's really amazing, because when you're reading the comments of that woman, the 50-some-year-old woman, it's like she doesn't comprehend what's going on. And I see this all the time. I call it the square wheel political philosophy. And people have this idea of, well, if we just get the right person in charge, or if we just tweak this, or if we just tweak that. Yeah. And they're trying to adjust the symptoms, and they're not dealing with the root cause, you know, with the disease. So when people say, well, we need to get rid of political parties, you know, like George Washington said, well, George Washington sent 13,000 troops to crush a tax protest.
Right.
And he wasn't a member of a political party. So how's that going to stop
a tax protest
anything?
Of the whiskey American military, of military vets, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Of the people that had fought to make the free America, to put him in charge, to be able to do that, too.
Yeah, yeah, most of the whiskey rebels were veterans. Now, here's something else. They were able to raise up 13,000 troops, which is larger than any army that Washington had commanded as commander-in-chief in the War for American Independence. But here's the thing. They pulled these 13,000 troops together and got them to go into western Pennsylvania and to bear arms on their fellow citizens. This is the founding generation. This is the generation of freedom that we're hearing about. So if these people, and chances are many of them were veterans of the War for American Independence. So if these veterans of the War for American Independence in the founding generation, that the time of freedom, the time that we're always told that America was the most free, if they're going to go point guns at their fellow Americans to collect a tax, what do you think the troops are going to do today?
Exactly. Yeah.
So this mythology that, oh, our troops would never do that because they swore an oath to the Constitution. The Constitution that says that you can be indefinitely detained if Congress declares the home front to be a battleground.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, people just don't think it can happen here. They just, they just walk around with their, like, head in the sand.
I can't even count all the things that can't happen here that are currently happening now.
Right, exactly. but still, people, it's just like, well, it's for our safety. By the way, speaking of for our safety, when I was traveling out to California, I was groped by a female TSA agent. Going through, it was so weird. It was like going through, I did
you
go through
even
the scanner.
At the airport. You were looking at Walmart or something like that. She just came up to you. I was at Walmart grocery shopping down Detroit, and there was this female TSA agent, and I walked over there with a watermelon. I'm like, could you squeeze this and tell me if it's fresh?
I went through the scanner, and somehow or another, my crotch area, like, lit up. Do not know why. It was so weird.
Hot.
Anyway, so, I mean, yeah. So she's like, yeah, you know, I got to do this. I got to pass. And I was belligerent. I was.
She
was like,
she goes, wine?
She said, I know exactly. You're going to buy me dinner first? No. She said, do you want to go to a private room? I was like, nope, I want everyone to see this. And then I asked her, did she enjoy her job? I said, do you enjoy doing this? And she said, no, I hate it.
You know, that's,
and I'm just like, why are you doing
reminded
it then?
Of a couple, I'm reminded of a couple of things that Nima and I said in some of the first shows, like almost 6 years ago. Oh, we're coming up this Saturday is 4 years of The Fiends on Radio.
Whee!
But we had an episode that was called something to the effect of, like, you know, if you want, the government creates scenario. The idea was that the government constantly creates scenarios where two different parties are involved in things they hate doing. Like the TSA agent who doesn't like to go.
Yeah.
And the people don't like being groped. But it has to be done because...
For your safety.
Security theater.
Mm-hmm. Befeel is befeel. Just following orders, yo.
Yeah. Meow. And I...
Meow.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I love The Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, so before the break, I was talking about being gripped at the airport, and it kind of led me to remember, and I can't believe I haven't talked about this on the show, how, and it was just another example of me being belligerent a little bit. I have a local dog park here, a fabulous dog park, and there's this wonderful climbing tree. And I climb up in this tree, and I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden this lady's like, older lady's like, "You're not supposed to climb that tree." And just starts yelling at me and everything. And, you know, and I was just like, you know, why not? I mean, I started challenging her, you know, and, you know, asked her, you know, is this park private property? Who owns this park? Well, the county owns this park. And I'm like,
I'm not usually ageist, but I'll, and I kind of sound like that tonight too, because my voice is really hoarse, but. But yeah. I'll co-sign it when it's someone doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, she was older, but obviously she's a product. She's conditioned. She's a product of her, you know, culturalization and believing that, you know, the government knows best. And for Pete's sake, I'm going to hurt a tree that hundreds of dogs pee on every single day. Seriously? Like, okay. But anyway, so I'm like up there and she's like, you know, I said, who owns this? You know, who owns the park? You know, who owns this tree? You know, I don't think it belongs to anyone. She said, no, it belongs to the county. And I'm like, well, I don't recognize that.
You should have said, you know? I live in the county.
I know. I said, you know, I'm like, I pay my taxes, reluctantly speaking, but anyway, you know, and it was just, and then she started, she was going to call the parks department on me. She actually got her phone out and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
They get there like 3 days later if they came at all.
You know, and I just like when she started doing that. I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, that's really mean. I told her, I was like, that is really mean of you to do. I wouldn't do that to you. Why are you doing that to me?
Nice.
You know, like, wow, I'm not hurting anything.
What'd she say?
Nothing. She started ignoring me at that point.
She followed her around and told her everything she was doing wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. You shouldn't have done anything. You did it right, I think.
You should have said, mind your own business.
I know. Well, I mean, that's essentially what I said. I mean, I'm not hurting you. Why do you care?
You could have said, fortunately, fairly soon, you'll be dead.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would have been pretty mean. But
I mean, that's what it's going to take in Wyoming for them to decriminalize marijuana. Like, you know, a bunch of legislatures have to die of old age. They're all like 80. And that's the only thing is a bunch of legislatures, like, you know, 50 people
that are believe Reaper Madness. State,
so they got about 23 years left. Because only the good die young.
Because old legislators never die. Yeah.
Right.
Only the good.
Well, they have a full-time doctor for this, you know, small state legislature. They have a full-time doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
Whenever they're meeting there, because there are so many old ones.
Geriatric specialist?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah.
I had a similar situation. I was with Paul and Lynn by their place. And you haven't been there yet, have you, Diana?
No.
So anyway, we were out at this old abandoned mental hospital. It was an old state hospital. And we were like poking around and going inside the buildings that were shut down and everything. You know, nobody's getting hurt. Nothing's being harmed. And none of this. You know, and everything's just cool. And this old bat's like, you know, you're not allowed to be in there. There's rules.
I know. That's what this lady said. She said there's a sign. I didn't even see a sign. She's like, there's a sign that says you're not supposed to go up in the tree.
Whatever. Yeah, so yeah. There's signs that say you're not supposed to go to the moon either, but, you know, didn't stop people.
So anyway, Paul and I are like, mind your own business, you old bat. So, but anyway.
And we're not ageist, but we use whatever's handy when people are being
especially annoyingly statist, and not even statist, just like, there are rules when, you know, so I'm an adult, I'm not hurting anything.
The thing that strikes me too is that, you know, I don't know, it's like when you've gotten to that age, like, aren't you supposed to be more mellow? I mean,
yeah, at least when I was yelling at the kids, it was like about them not doing their job helping me that they're supposed to be doing. Right. It wasn't, you know, if they were over peeing on a tree, I wouldn't tell them not to.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not my tree.
Square wheel, quick.
Okay, the square wheel of political theory. Rather than seeing the government itself as a problem, people say, well, we need to reform the government. So basically what they have is a square wheel, and they can do whatever they can imagine to change that wheel, except for changing the shape. They can make it wider, thinner, use a different type of rubber, thickness, whatever, but the wheel must remain square. And that's why they never make any progress in politics.
That's excellent.
So, like everybody, thanks for coming on tonight. For everybody, thanks for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms. Meow. Meow.
Stinson Sunset is the
new wow.